We hit the mark right. when I'm in the studio.
All right.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can.
All right, Delaney, start us off.
All right, so July 17th and 18th, 2015, the Bike Peace Music Festival on Thunder Island / Cascade Locks, Oregon, right? And, you know, I actually don't really know what this is about, but I know that there is a
all new thing.
Yeah. This is the first I've seen of it. I mean, I've ridden here, and there's a bunch of music, and there's a bunch of things to do.
Yeah.
They have beer in Cascade Locks.
Yeah, Cascade Locks, Thunder Island, it's a real... Mm-hmm. It's a long day's ride, but it's a real good ride.
Oh, yeah, it's a great
Highway
ride.
30 is one of my favorite places to ride.
They got rid of the stairs, right?
Nope, still there.
It's still there?
Oh, really?
They had the little ramp that you can...
It's not a ramp. It's like more like a little...
Narrow little thing. Bike thingy.
Yeah, it's a culvert, if you will.
A culvert. That's the way to put it.
Is that what they're called?
Oh, no. I mean, just what it looks like to me.
You can put your wheel into it, and it will roll better than rolling on stairs.
Okay, yep. Here's what it's about. The Bridge of the Gods Peace Jam, it's a bike peace music festival.
Yes.
A rolling multi-day bicycle festival that will travel through the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area to Cascade Locks, celebrating peace and good health in ourselves, in our communities, and in our natural environment.
So I wonder what's going to happen when they get to those stairs in the rolling.
Not very healthy.
Reminds me back in my Columbia River Keeper days, we did a festival in Cascade Locks and we had like music and everything like that. So it was super cool. And it was like our first year after we had merged the two organizations together. And it was just this badass, like, yeah, river environment. Yeah. We had some big reggae guy who I know, I've already forgotten, but he was a big deal.
Oh my gosh. This is
anybody know
reggae? Awesome.
No, I don't know.
No, okay, I am not familiar.
Sorry, to the fans.
Yeah, outside of Bob Marley.
It was not Bob Marley.
Pretty sure it wasn't.
I am positive it was not Bob Marley. That would have been a trick.
What's the other thing under that?
Okay, ride all night, dance all night. Rolling the Gorge, fully loaded, no cars allowed. Zero carbon footprint, community of peace, health, and happiness. Celebrate through music. Celebrate. It's really weird phrasing, and it's hard to read. This ride is... four bike tours. I think this is actually a little more inclusive than that because I think anyone can ride maybe 65 miles.
I think the idea is that it's because I read that site too. Like it's for self-sustained tours.
Oh yeah,
there is no sag wagon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they make a point to say like there's no sag wagon. Please don't bring your car to the festival.
Yeah,
this is supposed to be like a green no trace. That's the freight train, by the way.
Yeah, I forgot they don't toot the horn now.
No horns.
Yeah,
I was surprised. Just today, I was down there, and they were coming through, and you know this whole thing like where it's now the quiet zone.
Right.
The bells of the thing still go off. The crossing still go off. And I thought like, well, that's weird. I thought it was the quiet zone. And then like my second thought was, I'm glad they do that.
I'm pretty glad that they do that too, yeah.
Up next, we also have...
Yes.
Oh, segue.
Go.
To the Disaster Relief Trials, Portland, Oregon, in October 17th of this year. Portland cyclists are called to test their navigation, problem solving, and load hauling metal in this disaster drill designed to showcase the grievance of cargo bikes to disaster relief. In addition to being a challenge for riders, the DRT will serve as an exercise for other aspects of community disaster response, such as neighborhood emergency response teams, NET, local amateur radio emergency services, ERAS, and the newly developed Oregon Virtual Operations Support Team, VOST.
Every year this gets cooler.
Yeah. Doesn't this it? This is so freaking awesome. Yeah.
And every year I'm like, I'm going to do it this year.
Oh, every year I'm like...
Oh, my screen was dark. Revance was actually relevance.
Relevance.
I couldn't read it.
I thought that's just how you pronounce it.
Yeah, me too, actually. I didn't want to say anything. Yeah.
No, I'm on low battery on this thing, yeah. So I'm conserving.
I don't have an adapter for you.
It's all good. I'll make it through.
Okay. First time I heard about this, I wanted to get a cargo bike. because it would give me an excuse to get a cargo bike.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm not going to bring that up three flights of stairs.
I'm putting the pressure on Nathan Jones to do a fat bike disaster relief. Like,
No, we need Brock to do the tall bike. That's what we need. Yeah. I think he'll come in last place, but it would be badass.
It would still be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead with the next one, Aaron?
All right. Vision Zero, the plan to eliminate road fatalities. You want me to read this whole thing?
You know what? Do you know what Vision Zero is?
Kind of, do you? Actually, the whole idea is that there would be zero deaths and zero fatalities and accidents on public roadways.
Yeah.
Due to, infrastructure.
And so this gives you a little bit of overview and then also talks about its effectiveness. So Sweden did this in 97.
Yep.
And then this lady goes on to talk about like how effective was it. Maybe just reading the bold on that.
Is it working? Compare the percentages of road deaths in Sweden to the percentage of road deaths in the U.S. 3 out of 100,000 to 12.3 out of 100,000, according what?
So 3 out of 100,000 deaths in Sweden.
Oh, I see.
To 12.3 out of 100,000.
That is 4 times more.
At least.
Slightly more. Hold on. Yes, slightly more.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. This is a big deal in Portland, actually, because just in May we had a few accidents. They're not just numbers. They're people. Yeah. And we had a few fatalities also. And in May, this past May, it was Bike Month, which stirred a lot of hearts in protest. And it's increased friction between the cycling community and automobiles. And I think that this is such a great leap for Portland. And I say a leap because I think that Portland in general has been really great for cyclists, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that they could, ODOT can do a little more.
Oh, definitely.
Of course. But they can always do more. I think it's not a simple problem. And I don't think it's going to be, okay, this is my opinion, not the opinion of my employers, my clients.
Bring it.
But.
Wait, are you working for ODOT now?
No.
Official ODOT opinion coming.
Then I wouldn't have any.
The Oregon Department of Transportation says.
I'm like the sun. I burn from very far away.
Okay. No. They're working on it.
Yeah, they are. They will be for the next. I mean, whatever they have in plan for now, it might get implemented 2 years from now. But they are quick to act on more dire things, I guess. So I guess more people need to get hurt. Oh, no. I digress. And I think that it's not a simple problem. And I don't think that just by improving road infrastructure will actually make a huge difference. I think it's actual awareness and being mindful about the people that are on the road, that'll make a huge difference. Because once people who are in vehicles recognize that they could be dangerous weapons.
Yeah.
You know? And I have nothing against cars, really. It's assholes that have something against or no. It's not assholes. It's people who don't think of other people. People who don't really care,
you know, the car or the automobile or the combustion engine, I think, has its place and has its use.
Oh, yeah.
I think in the name of profit, that use and that place has been well overblown.
Oh, totally.
And again, I think we're beginning to wake up to that fact.
Yeah.
Also, as we're getting more and more bicycles out there, and I know this is towards pedestrians and bicycles, but more commuting by bicycle in every city. We've talked about DC. We're of course here in Portland, but you know that means that there's more exposure.
Yes.
So this is an excellent challenge to take up, but we should also be mindful that it is a challenge indeed because with more and more people cycling, there are more and more people who can possibly be hit by a car. So it's a question of, you know, what are our priorities and awareness and all those things that you talked about. And I think it is an awesome goal. And frankly, in some ways, I sort of think, shouldn't this always be the goal?
Right.
I mean, have we had vision like 8 before. It's like, no, you know, thank goodness only 8 people died this year. We made
we
our numbers.
We reached our quota. Yeah.
I mean, but I do like the fact that they're actually making this thing. There's a word for it, Vision Zero. It means something, well, and we're able to hold our elected officials and ODOT and all those other state-level officials and local officials accountable to.
So, and there's actually a term for that, which is inherent violence. It's the violence we accept with the use of everyday norms. And so I think the vehicles have fallen for a very long time into that category. And like Aaron was saying, there are people who are starting to voice opinions to the contrary and that's not okay.
Well, and that's sort of the ethos or the thought behind Vision Zero is like, we've engineered roads, we've engineered cars. We're smart enough. Yeah. We're intelligent beings. We've made these things that cause these inherent violence. Is there a way we can engineer the violence out of these systems? Yeah. Well, of course, because we're smart enough. We know how to do this. It's just a matter of figuring out how.
Think about the language we use. The term is an accident, right?
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, this drunk driver mowed over this cyclist. Oh, it was an accident. Yeah. No, it really wasn't. It was a tragedy.
It was vehicular manslaughter.
It was vehicular. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's trying to find ways to sort of rethink the paradigm of the whole thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been on these protest rides, too. And there's a lot of emotion behind these protests,
yeah.
But there aren't that many people on these protests either. And it's heart-wrenching because I know that a lot of people care, but they're not willing to make a stand also and kind of push change.
Well, that might be a little bit
though,
more
right?
complicated.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated. Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is.
I'm not a ride and protest kind of guy. I'm not a 2-4-6-8 enter name of issue here kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you've heard me. Obviously, I have opinions and I voice them and I do things. It's everyone has their own role within all of this. And, you know, if it's that you vote for people that would effectuate a Vision Zero kind of a thing and you reject someone who isn't going to support that to me is activism. Actually, last year we talked about the concept of activism, Aaron. I don't know if you remember this, about how I said that you were an activist just by rolling on division to bring it all full circle.
The king of division.
You are the king of division. Everyone has their own role, and we play our own role in how we live our lives. And sometimes, again, I'm going to call it all back to lead by example, right? You know?
Yeah.
Doing all those things. We can be all activists in our own way. And some people will do it at something like that, and some people will do it in other ways. So, but, you know, it's always nice to have a big turnout for something like that.
Exactly. It's okay, my last thing. Here's my last thing. Is that one thing I noticed about these protests is there's really strong language, of course, and there's a way to say things, of course. But I think the message that these protesters have really, and by the heart of it, is, hey, city, help keep us safe.
Yeah.
You know, save us.
Or,
that's
we can do better.
I mean, of course, it's we can do better, but it's really, you know, keep us from harm. Yeah. Help us. Really, because, you know, next thing you know, I mean, okay, so there was that that dude who, I forget his name, I'm really bad with names, but that dude who just graduated from Reed College, his life was definitely cut short. It's not like he was like, that's ageist. I shouldn't say things. But anyway, it's just really sad, and I can't even say unfortunate because that was definitely preventable. But
well, and that's again, that's like the ethos, the idea behind Vision Zero is like all traffic fatalities are preventable fatalities.
And it's not just for cyclists, it's also for pedestrians, and it's also for other vehicles too.
This isn't
that's a fair point, because I only talked about cyclists.
This isn't a modal versus modal idea. This is a safety idea.
But it's got to be taken into account, because as you guys have talked about a lot, the most vulnerable modes of transportation are pedestrians and cyclists.
So, and skaters.
And skaters. Thank you for mentioning skaters. Yeah. The first time I ever heard about skating as transportation was on this show, and I think that's badass. Yeah. And props to the skaters.
Oh,
I was going to say, did you have Corey on?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
he's such a great guy.
Northwest Skate Coalition. Yeah. And then, like, just a few weeks back, Layla, who rollerblades through the city.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. We're multimodal here on this show, right?
Totally.
I don't know if you got to read much of this next article. It's pretty long here. So,
for the Bike Portland.
Yeah.
From our friends over at Bike Portland.
Yeah.
After 90 years, American cities are again redefining independence. Sometime in the 1920s, the American auto industry worked very hard and very consciously to achieve a great victory. They successfully associated their product with freedom. In the years that followed, advocates of motordom, as they referred to themselves, pulled off their most famous trick. They used a derogatory American term for a country bumpkin, a jay, to coin a new word, jaywalking.
Hey, jaywalking!
People using the street casually weren't exercising freedom, the word implied. They were betraying ignorance and unsophistication. They didn't belong in the U.S. cities. Cars did. Have you had the prickling sense lately that the United States is in a new moment, that the Vision Zero movement and those like it are reviving some of the sense of outrage about the lost freedom in an urban movement that is almost, or that almost no one still alive remembers? But from gradually spreading grassroots hashtag to a Portland dad worried about his children's safety, to residents mobilizing for a voice on their neighborhood association, to one of America's great cities announcing that despite our country's choices of the 1920s, we no longer find traffic deaths to be an acceptable price to pay for speed. The national movement for better streets that's being built right now is showing signs of a very American attitude. It's actually the same attitude that advocates of motordom had when they gradually wrestled control of the city streets, supposedly in the name of freedom 90 years ago.
Yeah.
Boom.
This reminds me of...
mic drop.
Yeah.
Don't. These are kind of expensive.
You know,
yeah. No, these are nice mics. Please don't.
Sorry, Aaron.
They're not that good. But it's all we can afford.
Thank you to our sustaining donors.
Yes. Here's a patch that says I tried.
Logan, Shadowfoot, Ethan George.
There's a documentary called, and I should put documentary in quotes, it's called America's Love Affair with the Automobile. It's like done, was in the 50s, mm-hmm. something like that. Narrated by Groucho Marx, I believe. But it's just, it talks about how great the automobile is and how great it is for America and how much America loves the automobile and how much the automobile loves America. And just like comparing it like to these two spouses who are like totally in love with each other.
I like that it's so mutual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, like there's growing evidence now that like maybe that love affair mm-hmm. has come to a close. Yeah.
So what I always find interesting about the growth of automobile industry within the U.S. is that some of our really great bikeways in Oregon are actually as a result of that initial motor trend. So, for example, the highway out to the gorge used to be a leisure highway for persons who were able to afford vehicles and make their way out for the day.
Wow. What?
Yep. Yeah. And as the transition occurred between motor vehicles going from about 10 to 15 miles per hour up to 30, up to 40, up to 50 and 60, that mode of transportation and that sense of exploration and curiosity disappeared as a identifier for, I guess, the motor trend within the U.S. It was no longer something that was a vehicle of leisure, but a vehicle of I need to get there and I need to get there 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Wow. So that
and then
just,
the interstate.
Yeah,
system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Blowing out for the interstate I-84 out to the east side of Oregon. So it's kind of, I don't want to say full circle, but it's kind of an interesting relationship that the two modes of transportation share between each other. As one of our most cherished bike routes in all of Oregon is as a direct result of the growth of the motor industry in the 1920s.
Thank you, motor vehicles. Wait, what?
However,
thank you. I was waiting for you to jump
in. The paved streets are almost directly related to the League of American Wheelmen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes. Paved streets were because of bicycles. Yep. It was originally all about bikes. There's some great history about all that. It's kind of fascinating what happened. And the rise of the motorized vehicle, there were some positive impacts in America, but we way over-adjusted. And you just mm-hmm. talked about it, you know, with the speeds, I think, is that's an amazing way to put it. And now maybe I think, you know, people like us sitting in this room and other people in this city and others were maybe rethinking of adjusting that back a little bit find the right balance, because there's a livability aspect and, you know, living your life at 55 or higher, you miss stuff. And all of us who bike, you know, you see more things. And we've talked about that a million times. Yeah. So, yeah.
We want our leisure back.
I would like my leisure. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to read this next one. I'm going to kind of do my best to paraphrase because I see we're running out of time, but I really, really think it's important to
this is really important
for me to address this. I am going to preface this with a warning, knowing that bikes, simple living is like it's not necessarily related to this article. I still felt very strongly that I needed to bring this up. This might be triggering to some of our audience members, and I will apologize for that Feel free to give me criticism. Feel free to come back on me. Before you do, however, I would like you to take a moment and just kind of question why it is you might be triggered, why it is this might not sit well with you. That said, our next article comes from TheRoot.com. Mm. Silence Around Who is Burning Black Churches Speaks Volumes by Kristen West Savali. Black churches in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, and Tennessee, and now Ohio, burned in the weeks following the terrorist attack on Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, that killed 9 people. In response, agents of the state and mainstream media have attempted to gaslight Black America into believing that the smoke choking our collective souls is imagined. Lightning, that was it. Maybe some delinquent kid or faulty electrical wiring. According to the Department of Justice, quote, preliminary investigations indicate that 2 of the fires were started by natural causes and 1 was the result of an electrical fire. If, in fact, there is evidence to support hate crime charges in any one of these cases, the FBI, in coordination with the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms and Explosives, and local authorities will work closely with the Civil Rights Division and the U.S. Attorney's Office to bring these forwards, unquote. This is not an attack on Christianity, as many news outlets have said. Mm-hmm. It is an attack on Black America.
One news outlet.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Quote, we are familiar with the terror attacks of the KKK and other racist hate groups. These fascist cowards have always targeted Black churches in the South, said Frank Chapman, field organizer of the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression. That is why we don't believe these are just random acts of violence. These are deliberate acts of terrorism designed to cripple and destroy our movement. This is not a time for attacking the religious beliefs of the victims and survivors of racist terror. We must insist and demand that these racist terrorists be brought to justice. I also would like to point out that one of the victims of the the Charleston, South Carolina massacre was a state elected official, and therefore that becomes a federal offense, which what? Also has not been followed up on. I'll just fast forward to the last paragraph here. These fires and the flaccid response to them prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Black people in this country are under attack and white supremacy is under protection. We know this, and we cannot wait on mainstream media or government agencies to give us permission to call a thing a thing.
Ugh.
I understand that is very dark. I understand that this could be very triggering to some of you listening. I understand we're a room of mainly white people, at least 2 of us.
Half and half.
2.5 of us.
Like a mocha thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those of you listening, I would say just be very careful not to dismiss this. Again, feel free to criticize me. I know this is not necessarily a Sprocket podcast thing. Mm-hmm. I have just been seeing a lot of, she used the term gaslighting. When I read that word, I was like, that's exactly what's it.
Yeah.
I've been seeing this being written off as, yeah, is like, oh, it's just this crazy thing that's happening. And like all those crazy protesters going out there, you know, kind of doing their Chicken Little thing. I was very disappointed to find that even The Nightly Show, who I trust very much and still love, kind of made light of this even. It's something that, for whatever reason, it is kind of hitting me pretty hard. That said, I felt like I needed to bring it up. I have a microphone. I have a voice. By not saying something, again, kind of like what we were talking about. By not saying something, I feel like I'm just letting somebody take a dump in somebody's yard.
Yep. Well, that's what we'll call a callback.
As a listener, as well as a guest host of Sprocket Podcast, I'm right there with you.
Thank you.
Yes. Right there.
Yeah. All right. Let's all just take a little breath here.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
I'm so glad this is a part of the show regularly now.
Seriously. You know that's... That's Aaron Flores, right?
Oh, 1 year ago, I insisted that we played that, and that was sort of when Aaron used to not want this played. And I used to say, "You're welcome, Sprocket Podcast listeners." So, you're welcome.
All right, who wants to start this?
Mail from Johnny K on episode 244.
Can I just say hello, friend of the show, Johnny K from
friend of pedal ship,
friend of pedal ship, friend of Mikey podcast everywhere, Johnny K, you rock.
What I hate is when I put stuff out by the road to be thrown away. I get people that come by and start asking me if the stuff is any good and want to know what is wrong with it and stuff. It drives me crazy. If I put it by the garage,
garbage.
Thank you. If I put it by the garbage. It is just that garbage, and nothing works with it.
Next up from the Twitter sphere. We made it.
All caps up, Eric, all right?
Yes. Bob Gunderson is now following us on Twitter.
Woo!
And
What's up, Bob?
What's up, Bob?
You know you've made it as a bikey whatever when a parody of an anti-bike person Twitter account
is
following you.
Thanks so much, Bob. We know that you support all cycling things.
Hello, Bob.
You want to go next, Aaron?
From George L. From Twitter. Sprocket Podcast, thanks for turning me on to TI Brewing last year. Second trip this year, and it remains excellent.
Thunder Island Brewing.
Yeah. Yep.
Cascade Locks, nice. Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which.
Speaking.
That's right. Full circle.
Yeah.
I'm really happy it's the summertime there. I've tried actually 6 times to go drink at Thunder Island.
Really? Have they been closed? They have sandwiches now, too, by the way.
Oh, I know. I would go and eat them if they were open when I was ever there.
This is so sad.
I've planned a bike trip on that highway out to Thunder Island, and I've gotten there and camped 30 feet away from it with it closed.
Oh no.
So there,
were you talking it up the whole way?
I was like, best place ever, swollen knees. Like, don't worry, guys, we're like an hour from Thunder Island.
The reward is right there. Yeah.
So the real lesson here is I should check the internet before I go to the brewery.
You have to check,
Because aren't they only open a few days of the week?
They are, but not during the summertime. They're open like pretty much every day during the summertime. My weekends are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and every Tuesday I go, they're closed. So you'd think I'd learn by the 5th time, but it took 6 to get it dialed in there.
I've run into that problem because I haven't been able to go out there because they're always closed when I'm in town, except this is such a compact trip for me, but I'm back in October, so I'm going to make it happen.
There you go.
We should go on a ride together.
Dude, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me thrice, six times.
Fool me 6 times, I might just like biking in the gorge.
We'll be fooled again.
This is nice.
Go ahead.
All right. At Sprocket Podcast from Leonard K. If you ever come to Hamburg, Germany, you have to join us for Critical Mass. Link to YouTube video. How big is Critical Mass in the U.S.?
Couldn't talk, Leonard.
Oh, depends on where it is.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, but it's interesting that...
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, you're watching the...
There's kind of a lot of people in Hamburg.
I'm really surprised that critical mass is still a thing, though. I honestly thought it was over. I'm glad that it's still a thing. Don't get me wrong. In fact, I kind of often think about, like, maybe it's time for critical mass to be a thing in Portland again.
Wait a second. They call it the World Naked Bike Ride. You mean World Naked Bike Walk?
Or the World Naked... Oh.
I'm kidding. I was there, okay? I was a marshal.
I showed up five minutes before it happened, and I chose the right intersection this year. I was one of the first 30 people out the gate.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Hey, high five.
Me knowing the ride leader had nothing to do with that decision.
Okay, so this is actually in that tweet... was posted this video, and it's 17 minutes long of people trudging their bikes for this critical mass. But they're very precise about it. They're only taking up, they're taking up 2 of the whatever West End Lane, maybe, in Hamburg. But 6,000 people.
All right.
6,000 commuters.
Sprocket field trip.
Yeah. It's critical mass with a heart of gold, it sounds like.
Let's open up a GoFundMe account for... Aaron,
to get me to
Aaron and Brock to go to Hamburg.
We need more sustaining donors to make this happen.
You know, if you get hamburgers in Hamburg, Germany, it's actually a real hamburger.
That reminds me of Royale with cheese from
France.
Yeah, Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. I told my girlfriend about that when we were in Paris. She's like, wait a second. So, wait, they don't call them quarter pounders here? No, because it's metric. And I went through the whole Travolta thing.
Was she like totally clueless? Like she's
never seen the movie. Oh, it was like it was like I was the coolest genius ever. And all I'm doing is quoting Travolta from 92.
My girlfriend knows I love that movie, but she just doesn't like that type of film. And so whenever I quote something, she's like, you're quoting that movie again, aren't you? And I'm like, one day we'll see it. One day.
I got that beat. I got my girlfriend quoting Monty Python. She's never seen anything. But every once in a while, she'll just be like, I'm not a witch. I'm not a witch.
So she's basically quoting you, quoting Monty Python.
Yes.
That's true.
That's,
right
yeah, that's success.
Maybe. It's something. I don't know what it is.
All right. Should we close this thing out? All right. You know what? I'm going to take a back seat. You guys can do the outro.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Just decide who does the bold and who...
I'll take
the
non-bold. If I'm in the studio, we hit the mark. Okay, we hit the mark when I'm in the studio.
And...
Read fast.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
And thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurt Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Lewin for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Malamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lane, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney,
Hi, right here.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohenmiller.
Running out of time.
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez.
Faster.
Dan Gimmer, Zoe Camagna, John Blood.
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaiser.
Caleb Jenkinson, JB Keeley, Peanut Butter, Jar Matt.
Patrick Arcane, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole.
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Builder, Anna, and Chris Sasukas.
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson.
Close enough.
All right, everybody. Tim, thanks for coming.
Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
Ride your...
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.